Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
People think that, you know, you get to dictate everything in your life. I'm going to react to what happens and what comes up. I mean, you never know. But at the end of the day, I do look forward to whatever the next challenge is going to be.
All right, if you're a Bears fan, the surprise is probably gone. You recognize that voice. That is our next guest. He did join Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins about a week or so ago. But let me just run it down real quick anyway. The second pick of the Chicago Bears in the 1984 draft at the University of California, Berkeley. Remember the 85 Super Bowl Bears, 9 great years at linebacker. In the broadcast business for a little while. As a matter of fact, was my broadcast partner on this show on pre and post. We were working at another station, but decided to get into coaching. Eventually coached the Bears' second Super Bowl team, the only other one. So I wonder how many guys actually can say they were on both Super Bowl teams. Went on to be a head coach in the NFL, a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. Took another team to the Super Bowl in 2015. And today he is ours, and it is an absolute pleasure to welcome Ron Rivera to the program. Ron, it's great to have you here, man. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us.
I appreciate that, Hub, and I look forward to talking to you guys. Patrick, Owen, how you guys doing?
Doing good, Ron, man. We're doing good. We were talking about many years ago when we were at Glen Flora back playing some golf at the golf course.
This is not a podcast.
No, I know. Well, we won't get into details.
G-rated, please.
We had a good time back then, but I guess now that you do have a little bit of extra time, have you been able to get out and swing it a little bit?
I have. You know, good. It's funny. The very first weekend I was out, it's the first time I hadn't coached in 24 years. And there was no way I could watch the game. So a group of our really good friends, I mean, we've been here nine years in Charlotte. And so a group of our friends took Stephanie and I golfing. And when we finished up, the game was near the end. And we went into to the 19th hole to have a drink. And as soon as we walked in, all the bartenders and the waitresses took all the TVs and changed them to golf. I'm gonna tell you, it was great. I mean, it just kind of showed you, you know, it showed us how mindful the folks were to us, you know, and it was really kind of a cool thing that they did that to, you know, as far as just, you know, kind of try to make sure we were keeping our mind off of it.
Ron, anything else? I was wondering about you, thinking about all those hours you spent breaking down films and getting game plans ready, and anything else you've been doing that you've been waiting to do for a while with your family or your wife or a charity or anything that you've been doing?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, one thing that Stephanie and I have always talked about doing is really a cleansing, because in this house, you know, we have some stuff that we still haven't unpacked from our last three moves. I mean, so we've kind of been going through a bunch of the old stuff, and it's funny, you know, we have a box that I forgot we still had, and in the box is a bunch of the memorabilia from the 2006 season that I was fortunate enough to be part of with you guys. I mean, it was really cool, and it did take me back to some great memories. I mean, it was really kind of a neat thing to kind of purge through all the stuff that we've accumulated over the years. And, you know, it's almost sad, too, because it's time to let this go, and, oh, we still got to keep this, that type of stuff. But that's probably the biggest thing we've done. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Stephanie, to be honest with you. I've been trying to get out of the house because every time I turn around, I'm doing something around the house. But it's been really good. It really has. And like I said, I've missed three weekends of NFL football now as a coach. And on all three weekends, I can honestly say I've gotten up real early and played some golf before the games.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. We're going to get into some football with you, Ron, but first we got to ask about the kids. Last time I saw Christopher, he was looking more like dad than the little one I remembered when he left town. I assume everybody's good.
Yeah, they are. You know, Christopher went back to get his MBA, so he's at the University of California, San Diego, doing that. He's got two more quarters left, and he'll have his MBA, and he's gonna reapply to some of the companies he's worked with in the past. So he's doing great. Courtney, it's a little bit of a tough time for her because Courtney's worked with the team, and she's actually in the social media department in the marketing. And so it's a little bit tougher, but you know she's bounced back really well because she understands, and you know she's been involved with football almost her whole life, so she knows it, she sees it. And the nice thing about it is that they have a soccer team that they just got here in Charlotte, and I think she's going to look forward to trying to work for them. And you know it's been good, so she's doing pretty well, and you know Stephanie's enjoying it. The hard part is you know we've made so many really good friends out here, and really kind of gotten involved in all the charity work. You know, as Olin asked about, you know, and we, you know, because we work at the Ronald McDonald House, the Humane Society, and the USO of North Carolina. And, you know, so just, you know, those folks, that's going to be one of the sad things, too, because, again, 9 years and being involved with these folks has been really a cool thing.
So, Ron, I don't want to open any wounds here, obviously, but I think one thing you know, if you're going to be a coach in the NFL, you're going to get fired at some point. And you guys got off to the good start. I want to say 4-2, 5-2. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like the wheels kind of came off. What happens in a situation like that where you're playing really good football and then all of a sudden you just can't seem to get out of your own way?
Well, you know, and this happened the last two years in a row, is we've suffered, I don't want to call them catastrophic injuries and had some position catastrophes, but that's really kind of what happened. You know, last year it was Cam with the shoulder. And that really kind of set us back. Was at one point we were 6-2, you know, and then he takes the big hit and the shoulder kind of, you know, gets out of whack and we never really recover. And then this year, you know, we started off with Kawan Short, you know, our one of our top defensive tackles, which is kind of what the Bears have gone through, losing some of their best defensive linemen. You know, we suffered through that on the defensive side. And then we had two rookies trying to split the left tackle position and they both have been hurt. So our offensive line has never really shored itself up this year. So, you know, I mean, it's an excuse, and it's unfortunate, you know, that I'm even talking about it. But, you know, that's part of what happens in this game. It's a game of attrition, and the team that stays the healthiest at the end of the year sometimes is usually the team that at least gets to the playoffs and wins a few games and even wins the Super Bowl. So we just haven't had that kind of luck.
Coach, Olin and I go way back with you all the way to 98, our rookie year when you were a defensive assistant, the quality control coach. You left us, go to the Eagles, you come back to us, you go on to be a head coach. When you were going through all those years and working your way to being the head coach, who were some of the coaches you pulled from or situations you pulled from to help you become, you know, a very good head coach?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people always ask me that question about, you know, the people you pull from. And it's not just the other coaches, you know, that I've been around, because I've been around a lot of great coaches, you know, and having played for Mike Dick and, you know, and been around Buddy Ryan and people like that. But, you know, Andy Reid has been tremendous, and then coming back and being with Lovie. You know, Lovie, I learned a lot from Lovie. It was tremendous. Then North Turner in San Diego. I think those guys really helped set me on my path. But I also always fall back to the players, you know, because a lot of these guys helped shape me and mold me, because I got an opportunity to see how you're supposed to work with guys and how you deal with things when it comes to the players. And you know, learned a pretty valuable lesson going into the 2006 Super Bowl, and Olin was probably one of the guys that really kind of made me realize that you got to be smart about how you talk about it. Because you remember, Olin, I mean, I thought you hit the nail on the head, and it kind of helped me to realize that, you know, when you're in that situation, you don't take for granted where you are at the moment. And I thought it was a valuable lesson that I've always kept in mind. So I've always tried to stay present wherever I am.
You know, Ron, I was looking at your guys' 2015 Super Bowl season, and then after that, I think you guys went 6-10. I was thinking about the Bears, 12-4 last year, and then kind of 7-7. And we obviously, health is not an excuse. Anybody who watches this league knows that. That's a huge part of it. But what else, as a coach, do you have to guard against? Because the Bears here had the, you know, we had the 100th year, you know, anniversary parties, and they were feeling really good about themselves going into the season. What else are you watching when you watch a team as the head guy? I always think about that. That's a lot of work, man. What are you trying to guard against?
You try to manage expectations, you know, because what happens is first of all, and I learned this from John Madden, because after the 2015 season, you're right, we went 6-10 the next year. And when I sat down with Coach Madden, you know, because he was a mentor for me and it's been tremendous, I talked to him about maintaining it and how do you get back to it. And he said, Ron, the truth of the matter is the biggest mistake people make after a year of success is they think they can start where they left off. And by doing that, you forget to go back to the base fundamentals. He said, I always used to say, hey, I have to start at the basics. I always have to start with the running, the blocking, the tackling. You know, instead of just diving in and instead of working your base offense, you're working your passing game. You know, you're forgetting the things that got you there. And so that was probably one of the things when I reevaluated the 2016 season, that was the biggest mistake I saw, was that some of our guys felt, and myself included to a degree, and so my coaches said, hey, we can just pick up where we left off. And you can't, because, you know, it's not the same team. The team changes almost immediately as soon as the season's done for you. You know, players leave, coaches leave, all kinds of different things happen. So you have to understand that, you know, you have to reset, rebuild, and pick up from the beginning. And that was probably the biggest lesson I learned. And, you know, it's tough because you also have to manage the expectations, because everybody's going, oh, they went 12-4 last year. Hey, they've got it all down. Everything, look at what they do. And look. No, because you have to manage what everybody's expecting. Just because, you know, you're coming off of a division win, you know, a division championship, you know, it doesn't mean it's just because you show up, people are going to roll over and die for you. They're going to play even harder. They're going to compete even more against you, because that's the feather in their cap, is to beat this team.
Ron, you mentioned, you know, obviously playing for Buddy Ryan and some of the great coaches you worked with. You actually got your start coaching from Wani, who's a regular now here at the Score,
yep,
as well,
yep,
and then went to Philadelphia. And for whatever reason, it just seems, at least in terms of you know, reading and hearing, you were always kind of billed more as a disciple of Jimmy Johnson than Buddy Ryan, two of the great, you know, defensive coordinators in the history of the game.
Yep.
I'm guessing that you took things from both of them, but with them and all the other great coaches you played for and worked with, is there anybody in particular that you modeled yourself after the most?
No, I did try not to model myself after them. I really tried to be, you know, I always said the whole thing, be the original you. But I'll tell you, from both Buddy Ryan and Jim Johnson, both of them gave me a little lessons and things. Like with Buddy Ryan, I don't know if you remember, however, watching him at practice, Buddy used to stand about 30 yards behind, mm-hmm, the defense and watch practice back there. And so in the middle of my first year, about the first month of my rookie year, I hear him scream out at me, hey, Chico! So I come running back over there, and I'm standing next to him. He doesn't say a word to me for about 3 or 4 plays. And as he's signaling the defense is in, you know, he's watching, finally says to me, he said, what did I just signal? I said, oh, 46, you know, the defense. He said, okay. Because he ran back in the day, it was called automatic front coverages. He was testing me. And so then he just started to talk to me. Hey, you know why I want to play this defense? You know why I want to call that blitz? Watch Colonel. You know, they're going to run this long trap. I want to make sure he plays it the right way. And so he got me thinking in those terms. Then fast forward, I get to Philadelphia with Jim Johnson, as you know, just a tremendous schemer. I mean, you know, he tried to fit what we were doing on defense to attack the offenses based on the way they were doing those things. Well, that was what I was learning from Buddy, why he called or wanted to call the defenses that we played, and Jim was explaining it to me even more. And then about my fourth year with Jim, he had me start to write up the game plans with him. You know, I'd take the notes and then I'd put them all together, and then we'd sit down and he'd say, hey, you know, why am I doing this? Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. We should think about that. I mean, he was great and he picked it apart for me. So I learned and took so much from both those men.
You know, Ron, most of my Buddy memories are showing up at 7 in the morning, him coming in swearing and cussing. And the damn Twins stole my truck again, and they were 14 years old, I think, at the time. What was it like coaching against Rex and Rob after, you know, growing up with their dad?
Well, you know what was really cool? And I don't know if you remember, but we had a Super Bowl reunion when I was coaching. And one of his sons was still, I think, was with Baltimore. We played Baltimore at home, and we beat him at home. And we had a good day as a football team. And I got to talk to Buddy about that, and he just looked at me and said, hey, you're doing a great job, kid. And that meant the world to me. It really did, you know, that just have him say something like that. Because he had come to watch his boys, but he also came back for the reunion, and he was at the game. And after the game, we our paths crossed. And he just, you know, the compliment he gave me was just, it was really a cool thing to have somebody say something like that.
Hey, Ron, we got a CBA coming up, and, you know, normally that's players versus owners, but I would love to get your perspective, mm-hmm, being a former player and a former head coach. what changes would you like to see happen? Maybe some changes back to the way it was before, or stuff in the future that could could help the game?
Well, first of all, I'd love to see us somehow create a better opportunity to coach, which unfortunately would mean, as far as the players are concerned, a little more practice time, you know, a little more time in the off season to be able to work with these guys and help develop. Because I get a little concerned every now and then that our product is getting a little watered down in terms of the techniques and the way they play. You don't have the opportunities like we used to, especially when you guys first started. I know you guys remember how long those OTAs and mini camps were, but I just think to the health of the teams and the health of the league, you've got to be able to do those things so that when these players are being developed and, you know, they're learning and you get a chance to go through all those things. I'd like to see a little bit more of that, but I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm just talking as somebody who's been on both sides of the fence. I love the fact that they've improved the benefits for the players. I think that's one of the big things that they need to do. I'd love to see them make things retroactive so they come back and they take care of the older guys. And not necessarily my group, but you guys as well, because there's so much money out there to be had. And I'd love to see them share it with the guys that help, you know, that are the past, that really are the heritage of this league, that helps set the league up into what it is today. And that, I think what a great way to honor those guys by, you know, creating better opportunities for them after they're done playing.
Hey, Ron, when I got into this analyzing the Bears and I started to look back at my career and took a look at when we played the Eagles in the 2002 playoffs, my only bone I have to pick with you is that you're a former Chicago Bear. You could have walked over and just told us that you had Jim Johnson, you, Leslie Frazier, Steve Spagnuolo, and Sean McDermott, and we didn't have a chance that day. That would have been nice if you had just with John Harbaugh and Dave Tobe. We didn't have much of a chance against you guys that day.
I'll tell you what, you know, if you go back to Andy's first original staff and take a look, there's a picture that we took about 5 years ago, all of us at dinner, and almost the whole staff was there, minus, you know, Jim Johnson, unfortunately, because he passed, you know, of cancer, and Tommy Brazier, who's a little bit older, who's still coaching, but he didn't have the energy to get there. But if you look at that, there's something like 8 head coaches from that original staff that were there, and it was a pretty impressive thing. So, you know, I was fortunate again to be around a guy like Andy, who's really got a great tree of us that have gone on to be head coaches in this league. It's really cool. But I will tell you something about that, Olin. When we played you guys, the one thing I couldn't help but think is, God, these guys are going to be good in the future, man. They're just, you guys were so young. You know, I mean, you had a fresh-faced Brian Urlacher and Mike Brown. I mean, just, you know, just all the young, dynamic players. Peanut was on that. I mean, you just knew it was headed in the right direction. You felt good about where the Bears were going to be.
Ron, we're going to have to run, but we got to ask you about 2 quarterbacks
before we
let you go.
keeping Ron for the pregame show.
Yeah, that's right. He's a former media member. He's got nothing to do now, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're welcome to stay for the next 2 hours if you want.
He's got golf to get to
next week.
You only got to coach, I guess it was his second start in the league when you coached against Mitch, and it was a really weird game because you dominated everything.
What?
And he only threw 7 passes all day. And I know you've been busy with your own team. But everything in Chicago is so Trubisky-centric at this point.
Yeah.
Have you seen enough to have an opinion, have any thoughts about where this kid's at?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just people got to continue to manage expectations. You know, let's don't forget, you know, this is still a young football team because everything does start around the quarterback. And because of that, they're going to be young. You know, Coach Nagy's, you know, he's a young coach, but he's doing some really good things. He's only into his second year. And it's one of those things that everybody forgets. There's a process with learning and growing. That's the biggest thing I learned. Because, you know, my first 2 years as the head coach, I had the dubious distinction of being 3-13 of games decided by 6 points or less. And, you know, and if our owner hadn't had the patience, you know, because again, I believe my first year I was 5-11. My second year I was 7-9 or something like that. I mean, he could have easily, you know, just gone on and gotten rid of me, but he gave me my third season, and in my third season, it flourished. Look at what Sean McDermott is doing in Buffalo. He did basically the same thing that Coach Nagy did. His first year there, they get into playoffs. His next year, I think they went 6-10. So then his third year, now look at where they are, man. They had a chance to win last night. They could have beaten New England and had a chance to win that division for the first time in umpteen years. And it's really because he's gotten into his third year. His owner has shown some patience. The fans have managed their expectations. And that's probably one of the things and that's why I love the Chicago fans, because their expectations are so grandiose. But at the same time, just I would always say, hey, be patient. It's a young guy who's learning to do things, and when he does them right, he does them really, really good. They got a good football team. It's just they're going through the process. But the one thing I've always said about the process, you got to be careful too, because you don't use that as a crutch, because eventually you're going to keep saying, well, we're going through the process, going through the process. Well, when's the process in? Well, it's going to end soon. But again, I just think that there's a good young football team. It's a good young head coach who's done some really good things. And just everybody's got to manage their expectations.
I was telling Olin before we came on, I was in Foxborough yesterday to do that broadcast, and really impressed by the job McDermott's done with that Bills team. He's got them buttoned up and playing the way he wants to. But the other guy I got to ask you about before I let you go, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing one of the reasons that you didn't get back to another Super Bowl is that really Cam Newton, after that MVP season, you know, for whatever reasons, and I guess injuries a lot of it, has really not been quite the same player. And mid-season, even 4 or 5 weeks ago, there was a lot of talk around that maybe the Panthers would move on, that there's a $19 million cap savings next year. He's coming off the Liz Frank surgery now. What was like coaching Cam, and where do you think he's at 30 years old as far as his future in the league?
Well, I'll say this. The one thing that I've learned is you can't move away from a player until you have somebody there to replace him. That's what you got to be really careful. I don't know if they're ready to move away from him, but I do know this. He was telling me recently that, man, his shoulder feels good for the first time. He's had nothing but rest on it. He's, you know, just doing his workouts, doing his rehab, trying to keep it strong. He had the foot procedure done. He said that's already starting to feel better. So I'll tell you, it's one thing that I know about him is that when people have counted him out, he's always seemed to come back. And that was evident in 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2017. You know, the last 2 years have been tough. And I'll be honest, I was a little concerned at one point just thinking about how much he'd gone through and knowing what Andrew Luck had gone through. And I just kept thinking, man. But, you know, Cam told me, he said, you know, I feel good for the first time, Coach, in a long time, and hopefully I'll just keep getting better. So I'm excited for him. I mean, he's such a solid guy. And a lot of people don't know him, don't understand who he is. I've been fortunate to be around him for 9 seasons, and he did a great job for me, and he's a guy that I'll always appreciate, that's for sure.
Ron, I know you're just getting used to it, but my best guess would be, assuming the opportunities are right, that your plan is to continue coaching?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. I mean, I enjoy it way too much. I've been very fortunate. Like I said, I've been around a lot of good people, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity because I still have something to prove. I really do. And, you know, like I told them on my way out, I want to win a Super Bowl. I really do. I want to get back there and, you know, just give myself that opportunity. So I'm excited about it. I really am.
We cannot thank you enough for taking time out for us today. We certainly wish you nothing but the best, certainly a great holiday season, and please give our best to Stephanie and the kids, and good luck in whatever is next. You know, I don't think there's going to be any changes here in Chicago, but if there are, please come back.
No, I tell you what, like I said, it's a good young football team, but I appreciate it, Hub. And always good to talk to you, Olin. Always good to talk to you, Patrick, guys. You guys take care. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Ron, man. Merry Christmas.
Take care, buddy. That is Ron Rivera, one of the special people in the National Football League, one of the special Chicago Bears alums, good enough to join us on our Where Are They Now segment this week. Kept him a little longer than I should have, so we got to run and catch up on doing a little business here. But we will be back in just a moment with the Ameristar Sportsbook pregame show here at 670 The Score. Get to the Ameristar Sportsbook in East Chicago as soon as you can.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Play with aggression, you know, play with a lot of energy and try to affect him, you know, because he sets up like deep sometimes. So, you know, you got to work.
Eddie Goldman talking about the task at hand this evening for the Chicago Bears defense. Welcome back to our Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkish. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. It's not too late to get the perfect gift for family and friends. The Chicago Wolves Howliday Flex Pack. 10 ticket vouchers, a Wolves knit hat, scarf, and much more. Get it now at chicagowolves.com. Well, welcome back to our program, and it is great to have you all alongside. We just spent about 20, 25 minutes with an old friend, Ron Rivera. It's always a treat to get to visit with Chico. We also visited with Matt Derrick, who covers the Chiefs for ChiefsDigest.com. In a little while, we're going to have Mark Grody check in. Dan Pompey will be along a little later. We've got an opening now, though. If you want to give us a call, 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. You can also text us at 67011. So, you know, guys, it seems like I'd like to be able to talk about something besides Mahomes and Trubisky and, and Nagy and Reed. And we were talking before we came on, you know, how do the Bears compete? How do they win this game? How do they make a football game of it? Ironically, the best way to beat the Chiefs is to do what the Bears do worst, which is to commit to the run, stay with the run, and have some success with it. And you know, do we think that they will? Will they even try? Because they just haven't all that often this year.
I don't see them doing that. You know, Olin, you've talked about it all year. They're not built to run. They don't have the run personnel to get that done. And Matt Nagy hasn't done it in 15 games so far, or 14 games so far this season. So I don't see that happening. I want to go back to what you said, Olin, of Matt Nagy. Hopefully he's doing this to help Mitch for next year, just force feeding this offense down his throat. And next year we see all of a sudden he becomes this, you know, quarterback that understands what he's asked to do. But no, I don't see them going out there and running the ball. I mean, they haven't done it. So what makes you see that they're going to do that? I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. And if you look at the Chicago Bears and really people talk about running the ball, Mitch in the pocket. And look, I'm an offense. I'm a fat guy, offensive lineman. And you know, offensive lineman, I always tell people when we lose games, you just sit in the back of the bus and you say over and over again, we would have just ran the damn ball.
I heard that a few times. Yeah. In the back of the bus.
I always tell my son at Loyola, I'm like, whenever you lose, the whole line just talks bad about everybody. And it says we would have ran the ball. We would have won the game, right? Cracking a few beers in the back, right, Pat?
But yep.
The Bears, they have to take a look at themselves and ask the question, how do we score points? Because they're going to have to get over 24 points today, probably to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, who've scored 23 or 24 points at least on the Chargers and the Patriots, who don't give up a lot of points. So you're going to have to score points today. Cordero Patterson, Tariq Cohen, we're paging you. We need good field position. Yeah. Put our offensive position to get in a position to put points on the board. Play action, max protection, right? Allen Robinson, a double move, one-on-one with somebody. Get Miller open in the middle of the field on a boot or naked. And then when you do have to stay in the pocket, and look, we're not saying that you don't do any pocket passing. You just boot guys all over the place. Like really the Rams did last night against 49ers in the first half. They just kept booting. McVay was booting play after play. And I love that stuff because it's so easy for the offensive line. But when you do, Pat, then the ball has to come out fast.
Yes.
It has to be a three-step drop. Maybe I'd like to see the tackles even cut their guys. Just get the ball out. Design runs for Mr. Trubisky. Have him run the ball. Let's see what that kind of offense looks like, right? But very interesting to listen to a coach's perspective, a guy who's been the head of an organization for a while, and him talk about the process and him talk about grandiose expectations and his view, Ron Rivera I'm talking about. Mitch Trubisky is still a young quarterback. And when you look at it through that lens, and he didn't want to go into it because Ron's a classy guy, but he put Nagy in that same boat. They were rolling together, and from the outside looking in, I'm sure it looks like that. And he said that he had to learn a lot his second year, right? And Coach Nagy, what Ron said about managing expectations, when you watch that team this year, if you would say the two reasons why, Pat, they're not very good this year. Number one, they didn't manage expectations well. They didn't start with, Ron said, the fundamentals. I mean, I was taking notes when I
was talking.
That was
interesting.
Right?
I saw you write that down. That was interesting. That was kind of cool to hear that, to get that perspective, because, you know, we got to play for many years, and we had some success, then went back down, then had some success and went back down, and I never thought of it that way, mm-hmm. that's the way you should go about it. Break it down to your simplest form, even you individually, you offensively, you offensive line-wise, whatever, and start from the ground floor again. And
yeah.
There were some times we might not have done that. We were thinking, okay, we can just do what we did last year and then get to that 200 level.
Yeah, and I remember growing up, my parents would say, when adults are talking, shut up. And that's what I felt like when Ron was talking. You know, so I shut up and I was taking notes because he was saying a lot of good things on there. And sometimes that's what you thought that Coach Childress was brought in for. And maybe they are trying to do all that. No, you can't ever say what they're doing in that building, but when you took a look at the Bears and all you heard was, we're taking this offense from the 100 to the 200 level, and then a guy who's been through it says that, and you think, okay, now maybe there was a mistake. And maybe there's something that Coach Nagy learned this year. And look, like Ron just said, if the Bears are the Buffalo Bills next year and they're chasing this, about to beat the Patriots at home, that was a Hub said he did that game, and that was a hell of a football game to watch, hard-hitting, good coaching. If the Bears are those guys, even though this year has been brutal offensively, you're kind of looking at it like, okay, if you learn from this and become a better football team, Pat, then maybe this year doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, the word he kept saying, what I kind of got out of it, is just patience. I couldn't believe the patience he was talking about that the owner had with him, letting him kind of grow as a head coach his first 2 years with the Panthers. You know, us now in the media, former players, and what we saw last year to this year, you know, maybe I need to look back at that and say, let's have a little more patience. If they use this as a growing experience and they come back next year and can put, you know, a better product on the field and kind of, you know, maybe figure out how to win again.
This Hour on the Score is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's a cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at exergen.com. We've got to take another very quick break here. Why don't we do this? Let's give away a few more tickets before we go. As I mentioned earlier in the show, next Sunday, the final game of the season, we will be out and about at the Highline Bar and Lounge in River North, brought to you by Screwball, the original and most awarded peanut butter. You guys ever had peanut butter whiskey? I'm hearing about it.
Not till next week.
Yeah.
It'll be the first time.
Anxious to...
call NBC Sports. I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, it'll be the post-Christmas, pre-New Year's celebration.
Olin came down with the flu.
Well, and you can join us and come down to the flu with us if you would like, because we're going to give away a pair of VIP seats and breakfast for next week's pre- and post-game broadcast at the Highline Bar and Lounge in River North. All you have to do is be caller number 6 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. That's the contest line, 312-591-6700. The sixth caller gets a pair of tickets to our pre- and post-game shows next week at the Highline Bar and Lounge in River North. Going to take a quick break. Back with more of the Sportsbook and Ameristar pregame show right here at The Score.
Those are instincts, to be quite honest with you, and the timing of it, and obviously the rep after rep that you do that stuff, there's a clock that's going off in your head, and obviously he's mastered that.
Chicago Bears special teams coach Chris Tabor talking about his Pro Bowl special teamer, Cordarrelle Patterson, and another guy who's going to have mixed emotions out there tonight. Chris was raised in the special teams business by Dave Tobe, if you will. They were together here when Dave was the special teams coach and Chris was the assistant. Mm-hmm. Chris went on to be the special teams coach in Cleveland. Dave obviously has been in Kansas City since he left here. And tonight they will face off as well. And it's interesting, you know, you look at the Chiefs teams, Butker and Colquitt, good. Mm-hmm. Their return game, not special.
Not great.
You know, you would think with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman and all these guys, Their coverage teams are really good, though.
Yes.
And of course, the Bears have been, you know, one of the top return teams in the league all year long. When you've got the number one kickoff returner and the number four punt returner, you're going to be that. And that could be a big part of this football game. It's a, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask you, Pat, because what about Eddie Pinheiro? I still think Eddie Pinheiro is going to be a good kicker. I kind of felt that way all along. I kind of like his temperament. He's young. He's very young. You can tell that. He's got a big leg. And I know that there's been a few moments this year, but I obviously defer to your opinion on this one.
Yeah, he's got a good leg. I don't think he is going to be, you know, a top 10 to 15 kicker. I think he is an NFL quality kicker. But, you know, we were talking about preaching patience with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. I think you got to preach a little patience with him. He's got to learn how to be an NFL kicker. It's a different game than playing in college, obviously, but you've got to learn how to kick all the kicks, how to deal with the stress level, the extra points longer. But he's got the qualities to be pretty good, but I just don't see him being one of those top 10, 15 guys yet. But the good thing is the Bears are out of it right now, so he's not the guy we're going to be talking about, that he has less stress on him to try to figure out how to be an NFL kicker.
Yeah, you don't. What you don't like when you played a lot in the NFL like we did, Pat, is you don't like how much they have to, like, baby him almost.
Yeah.
He doesn't look very confident on the sideline, doesn't carry him. And obviously, we all have to grow into that because, let's be honest, when you get into the NFL, no matter how, there's some guys who are just freaks, but we're all wondering if we can do it, right? And I always tell the story of I went to reach block Mike Wells, what I did when I was in college with the same technique, and he pretty much body slammed me on my head. And I remember looking up at the Platteville sky like, maybe this is not for me.
You got to learn how to be a pro, right?
You do. And you got to learn the mental toughness. Mm-hmm. And you got to build calluses. And like Coach Nagy says, and it takes a while. And that's the hard thing, I'm sure, for even the guys in the building, because sometimes there's guys that we even play with that you're like, this guy's never going to get it. And he walks in the building the next year, and the look in his eye is totally different,
yes,
right? So I don't like the look in, as being an old ball player.
No,
I don't like the look
that.
Of Eddie's yes. eyes
yes.
right now.
He looks very young. He looks like he's not comfortable in the situation he's in. And hopefully this year will help him get through that. But I want to go back real quick. You were asking or talking about Dave Tobe and their coverage units. He is obviously he's a great special teams coach, but that is one of his biggest strengths, is coaching coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And just to talk a little ball real quick, is what he'll do is, instead of sending the kickoff team down kind of all at the same speed or in one wave, he will level off the speed. So the five will be real fast, one other five will be a little slower, and he'll do that all the way down to the right side and to the left side. So you're not hitting a returner with one wall, and once they break it, they're gone. And the other thing he does, and people talk about staying in your lane, he doesn't teach lanes, he teaches fits. So as you're running down, you've got to dissect what return is in front of you. And he does a great job of coaching you during the week. This is what you'll probably see. Okay, if the double team is going to the R3, you know, you've got to hit it over the top. And he just does a great job of coaching the scheme of coverage, not just running down and staying in a lane. And that's what differentiates him in his coverage, or the coverage ability of his teams. And he coaches it really, really well.
So,
and it's amazing.
So he almost takes like a defensive
yes,
approach,
exactly.
Like how if you see the ISO coming at you,
yep,
you wrong arm
yes,
the fullback.
Yes.
The mic folds over the top. So
bingo.
So it's not lanes. It's you got to diagnose the play, and really it's a trap coming mm-hmm. at you, and I want you to play like you're a linebacker, you're the D lineman.
You'll have a straight player, you'll have a penetrator, and
right.
That's why you see a lot of times in his coverage that I was just showing my little nephew who played high school ball. I was showing him some tape of how I can get his tackle stats up by covering kicks. He's
right.
A linebacker, and I'm like, play the scrape guy. But if you want to be the penetrating guy, and that's kind of a mentality thing, be that guy. But if you're the scrape guy, your tackle stats are going to go through the roof.
So you just ruined their whole scheme. I love it, Pat. I do the same thing.
I got to apologize here. I asked for calls, and we've got callers here, and I did not look at the screen and realize that we've had some folks waiting. So let's get out to Elk Grove and welcome Bill into the program. Bill, thanks for dialing us up. I'm sorry I had you on hold there. I didn't realize you were there, but we appreciate the call.
Oh, that's okay, Hub. I appreciate your show. And hi to Olin and Patrick, too.
See, that Ron's patience he's been preaching.
That's right.
That's affecting everybody.
hey, Hub, I just got two quick questions. One is on the NFL reffing. It's been so you know, at the forefront lately. And my question is, especially after last week with Cordell Patterson, why the heck are NFL refs not full-time employees? Why are they reffing an NFL game on Sunday and they're in court litigating a case on Monday, or a bartender, or whatever, you know, profession it happens to be? It just doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, you know, Bill, it's like so many other things. The answer to why is just because that's the way it's always been and nobody has changed it. And I used to kind of rant and rave about this because it just made perfect sense to me that if you're going to be the best at something, you got to do it full time. But we've had – the league does not like letting the media have exposure to officials. And now all of a sudden, the last couple of years, we've had a chance to meet with some of these crews during training camp. And Cleet Blakeman came in last year. I'm trying to remember Kurt – I can't remember who came in the year before. Talked to the whole team, and what they get real testy about that, because they will tell you that, yeah, they have these other jobs, but by the time they are done getting reviewed, studying tape, preparing for the game, that they are putting in 40, 45, 50 hours a week being officials. So it lessens my concern a little bit. I do know they work hard at it. My bigger concern, guys, and I think we talked about this a little bit, is that so many of these guys are in their late 40s, their 50s, even early 60s. They can't run with these players. I mean, I think a lot of these problems is they've created these calls that are completely subjective. And even though these guys are very good at what they do and they know how to try and be in position, they can't keep up and they get caught out of position sometimes. And that, how many? I don't remember seeing these 2 and 3 referee consultations all the time that we see now, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think, I don't know if they have to be full time, but I think they got younger and more athletic.
Well, the problem is the rule book. I mean, it's too big. And like you said, Hub, there's just too many rules that, what you have to look and make a quick judgment on what actually happened there. And really, like, I'll sit on my couch and, you know, one of my kids will say, Olin, Dad, what do you think about that? And I'll say, well, let me watch the replay in slow motion first before I make a call on that. Because right now, really, the referees are the guardians of the game, right? Because if you coach football on a little league level like I have, the game's in trouble. The game's in trouble with all these concussions and all the news that's going through and CTE and things of that nature. And they're trying to change the rules quickly. And now you got players who have been drilled one way for so long with muscle memory and how to hit guys. And now they got to take that out of their system. Like when they took the crack back block out. I mean, we've been doing that, Pat.
Forever.
You hunger for that hit. Yes. You want to take someone's head off. And now you got to pretty much box them out like in basketball.
Wait, well, because we talked about this, Hub and I did, with Big Cat on the postgame show last week. Are you a believer in maybe going to full-time officials, Olin?
Yes, I think that the league definitely has enough money, right?
That was one of my arguments, too, yeah.
I think that why would they, if you're paying them enough, why would they even have another job? You make them full-time. They are, because of the rules, because of everything that's going on, they are becoming one of the biggest parts of this game, mm-hmm. of what you want this game to turn into. They have to enforce it, and it's becoming a problem with these meetings and all of these things. And I don't know if it'll help it because they add new rules every year, right? But on the field, when you watch them discuss things for 5 to 10 minutes on whether that's the right call, I think it's a no-brainer for a $9 billion operation a year to make these refs full-time.
Yeah, I'm with that as well. And one thing else I think they should do is have somebody up in the box with, all, like you talked about, like somebody on their couch. We get all the replays that can buzz down there and say, hey, you got something egregious going, let's fix this. Just to kind of keep another eye on the game with, you know, all those cameras right in front of them that can help those guys. Because, as you know, from 1998 to when we finished, everybody got faster. Everything's just faster, bigger, all that stuff. It's harder to make those calls. And if you have that technology to use, why not use it?
This is going to piss Olin off, but it was $9 billion when you guys were playing. It's $16 billion now. And for that kind of, for that kind of money.
What was Ron talking about? The retired players holding them out of
the My hip just got sore.
Yeah. So you got a $16 billion industry, and you have part-time employees in the most important positions in the game. It really doesn't.
There's your point right there.
Well, and so I think what really needs to happen is a period of transition. The answer to your question, Olin, is why they have these other jobs. Well, most of them are in very successful. They're attorneys, they're financial advisors, they're making a lot of money, and they don't want to give it up. That's understandable. But the league has got to transition. You start to bring in younger guys, train them better, make them full-time, and I think over a period of time, it's the only thing that makes sense. Guys, we got to take another quick break. We should be hearing from Grody any minute now, but I can tell you this, Chiefs aren't coming in here to run the football tonight. LeSean McCoy is a healthy scratch for the second time in the last 6-7 weeks. Really interesting. They haven't done much on the ground, period. Damian Williams is their other running back, but McCoy is their leading rusher. He will be a healthy scratch this evening. Maybe they're just saving him for the playoffs. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we should have Grody. We have a lot more Bears talk for you coming up right here at 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.